Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and the Better Software Company. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere, joined once again by Angela Cote of Cultivate Advisors. What's up, Angela?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's the fall now, as far as I know. And so where the heck did summer go?
I don't know. It's gone. We are off to conference season time. So we'll be seeing a lot of our friends and family in the franchise world at a lot of cool places this fall. And one of the people that you introduced me to just a few months ago at a very cool franchise event was Chris Ramo, founder of a very cool new emerging brand called Happy Cat Hotel. And here to talk about Happy Cat Hotel and all things franchising today is Chris Ramo. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Angela. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, I would work with, I don't tend to attract any, quick service restaurant brands or anything like that. I get things like cat hotels and, more interesting, which I love.
Yeah. Who needs quick service restaurants? We got plenty of those. We need more cool brands that can grow and, turn into some sort of empire over the next few years. So I want to learn all about that today from you, Chris. But first, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Yeah. Nothing too impressive, at least as far as I think of myself. But I've always worked with small business, family, friends, other scenarios along the way. And for a long time, I wondered why I was always attracted to small businesses. I never got into the corporate gig where a lot of my friends did. And now I look back on it and, wherever I am in my business life cycle, and I realize that it's because of relationships. I value relationships above all else, really. And that's what small businesses have that a lot of big businesses don't, or at least struggle to maintain. And so, I've just used that to parlay my life, my business life into what we're doing now, and two small businesses of our own later. And here we are on the precipice of franchising. And hopefully, as Jack mentioned earlier, on the way to building an empire.
Chris, tell us a bit about Happy Cat Hotel.
Sure. The Happy Cat Hotel truly is the most luxurious and enriching hotel for cats ever created. It's don't think cattery, don't think kennel, but think right. Feline oasis is how we like to put it. It's a full service cat care experience. Features, we have individually themed like premium hotel rooms, full day enrichment activities, a variety of thoughtful amenities, and a grooming, full service grooming, and a fantastic cat-tastic gift shop as well.
And I'm guessing just with the population of cats in this country, I assume it's continuing to grow. This has got to be something that's really kind of filling a gap for a lot of people who need a place for their cats to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And the common thought process for a long time has been, my cat is shy. She's going to do better at home. I'll get a pet sitter. And that's actually where we came from. This whole idea came from another business that we have currently here in Connecticut. And it's a house call animal care service. But we realized, after so many years of going in to take care of cats, that they weren't really adjusting, and they weren't doing well with the family gone. Quite frankly, they were lonely. And so we said, geez, there's got to be a better way. And, nobody likes to travel with their cat, and cat probably doesn't like to travel all that much. But if we can make the destination as comfortable as humanly or felinely possible, you know, everything else will come together. The enrichment is the big part of it. The interaction, the socialization, you know, all the things that we do to help them acclimate. And within 24 hours, I mean, these cats are bouncing around the rooms. They're just completely relaxed because of the human interaction aspect that they can't get when they're home alone.
So the cats are relaxed. And I also think the humans who live with those cats are probably more relaxed, knowing that the cats are having a good time and they're being well taken care of while they're off traveling for fun or business.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's super important to us and to the clients that we can, you know, communicate that to them. So we have, you know, full service webcam capabilities in each room. We send a daily text message and email with pictures and updates, videos. I mean, just about everything that we do throughout the day gets recorded in some fashion and gets sent over to the cat mom or dad who's, you know, they're nervous at first. And I don't blame them one bit. But if we can communicate that, that's what makes the difference. And that's why they keep coming back. And to your earlier point, yeah, it just keeps growing and growing because the retention rate is unbelievable. I mean, we retain about 85% of all of our customers. And the ones that we don't are a lot of times it's because they're moving away or, you know, they just can't, you know, access us anymore for some reason.
I love that idea of building all of this on relationships. And speaking of which, I want to find out how, Chris, you and Angela met. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I was walking down the street one time and there was this crazy lady dancing next to one of those inflatable airworms like outside a car dealership. And I thought to myself, I can't not ask who this person is and what she's doing. if anybody's seen that LinkedIn video going around, that joke might that might land. But seriously, we met at the IFE in 2017, and Jackie had mentioned it's conference season coming up. The IFE, of course, is in the spring, early summer. And let's see, in 2017, I was really just contemplating the idea of franchising our business at that point. And I thought, you know, it might be a good place to start learning what I'm going to be up against. And so I had headed down to New York. Excuse me. We both happened to be sitting in the same workshop. And she mentioned at one point that she was a franchise growth catalyst. And I said, wow, that sounds a lot more exciting than advisor or consultant. So I asked for a card, of course, jumped on her website at the time. And it was about a year later, I think, Angela, that I called and said, you know, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I think I want to do this.
Well, I think it was like that I had the cat, like catalyst.
Yeah, right. And the cat ears. You were wearing the cat ears in the workshop. That was the other part.
Right.
Franchising, full of bad puns. So, Angela, where do you see this going with brands like Chris's or other brands that have to make this decision about getting into the franchising model? How does that usually happen where someone says, I'm going to use franchising to grow my business versus somebody who says, I want to, you know, roll this out myself? Where does that sort of idea start?
I would say more often than not that people get influenced by their friends, family, clients, and, you know, customers of their business that think it's a great concept and say, you know, oh, you should franchise this and I want one of these, or, you know, do you have this in, you know, in whatever town they're in? And so I feel like when I talk to people, the seed gets planted often by others. There are certainly people out there that come up with a concept and they do intend to franchise it, but I see it more often where it's like people around them that are saying like, you should do this. So, yeah. And then they start to investigate and ideally come to somebody like myself or somebody that understands franchising to get some guidance before they go off and, you know, take the big jump into the big crazy pool that it is.
Yeah. I always hear the stories about they, right? They should put a Chicago style pizza place here in my town, or they should build one of those great chicken brands or something, you know, here in this area. And I always think, stop talking about they. Somebody could step up and build that place if they want. You could do it. Yeah. If you think that this place needs a better pizza place, bring it on. Go do it.
Yeah. Well, what's really funny about that is that a lot of the times the people that did say that or that said, I want one of these, once it actually becomes a reality, they don't either have the capital or they really didn't want it, but they just kind of thought it would be fun. Right, yeah. Chris, I think we've had a few of those.
Oh, absolutely. And I hear it like in our town all the time. We have a great little town Facebook page. And, you know, somebody will inevitably start a business in town and off goes the community with, you know, they should also do exactly what Jack said. You know, somebody should open, a donut shop. Somebody should. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to say that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always want to tell those people, hey, good news. You're somebody. I'm sure the fine folks at Dunkin' Donuts would love to talk to you about opening your own in your own town. Chris, do you have any other thoughts on that as far as whether it's yourself or other emerging brands that you've been speaking with? Is there something that kind of made you go down the road of franchising as opposed to going down the other model road?
There are a couple of elements. One for me was the decision. The reason we made the decision was really a lot of what Angela had just touched upon. You know, customers, friends, colleagues, even staff, just anybody in our personal professional network, you know, inquiring about what our plans were for this, you know, really great idea that we had, and we had always sort of, you know, touched on it from time to time. Oh, maybe this is something we can franchise someday. You know, that's just so far down the road. But the response from, you know, everyone in our network as we kind of ventured, you know, off into growing that business, just brought it to the forefront. And then we started looking at it like, you know, this is something. And in the pet industry, which we're very familiar with, you know, we believe like wholeheartedly, this is going to catch on. There are going to be competitors in the space. And so, you know, there's an element of the decision making process that had to do with kind of getting, you know, becoming first or getting to the market first.
One of the other things that I often tell people when they're asking me, you know, whether to franchise or not, like whether it makes sense to use the franchise model, is the local ownership, you know, the local boots on the ground person that can build business in the local community. And, you know, I think people, when they don't know anything yet about franchising, they start influenced by these people that are saying, oh, you should franchise this. But then, you know, if you stop and think about it, does that make sense? You know, and there's lots of other criteria, of course, to look at, but that is definitely a strong reason for using the franchise model. And I think, you know, Chris and I, we've had some conversations about that. And how that having that person in the local community that can, you know, attend events and make connections with the local veterinarians and realtors and people that can refer them is a lot of value. So I'm pretty sure that was a part of the equation as well.
Yes, definitely. And I think you know, in addition to that, for us, and this is more of a personal decision, but as we kind of looked at this and started peeling the layers of what this really meant if we were going to go down this road, you know, we realized that through franchising, again, at least for us, that that scalable growth seemed much more achievable than trying to finance, you know, multiple locations, you know, taking it the way of a Starbucks and doing that. It just wasn't in the equation for us, whether it was, you know, financial or the time to do all of that. And it felt better, you know, doing it through franchising and building those relationships. And there I go again, back to relationships, you know, building relationships with these franchisees and that natural fit of, hey, this is what we know about the business, about the concept. And this is what you know about that local level community, you know, and everything that the franchisee brings to the table. It was just a kind of a no-brainer for us. It just felt so much more natural.
And how long have you been franchising now, Chris? Has it been a matter of months, or has it been longer than that? What's your timeline look like so far?
Yeah, so I mean, we've been in Frandev for about, you know, almost two years. But we've really just begun marketing to franchisees for the past few months. So we're really new at it. We're dipping our toes in the water, but we're gearing up and pushing hard here for some candidates, hopefully, that come on board in the later part of this year. And then obviously 2020, I think, is going to be our big year.
And in that few months that you've really been hitting it hard, and maybe even going back to when you first decided to franchise, mm-hmm. let's talk about some of the things that you look back and see as the best decisions that you've made along the way so far. Anything really kind of jump out at you as something that was like, wow, I'm really glad we did it that way because it's helped us move quicker?
A few points, I think, for sure. Number one, I definitely took inventory of what I was getting myself into before we ever, you know, dropped a penny on the actual development. And the only reason I highlight that as something that allowed us to move faster is because once we did make the decision, we really had some direction. You know what I mean? We knew we've got to get to, a franchise attorney. We've got to, build relationships with advisors or consultants or catalysts in our case. And it just, like, once the light turned green, we were off and running. And I think we put a lot of time on the front end, but, in making that decision. But once we did, we were off and running. I think definitely, going to a professional in the industry, in our case, that was that first move was, to go to a seasoned attorney in the franchise space. But that's just one piece of the puzzle is the legal aspect to really gain an education about the rest. We went to an advisor. In this case, it was Angela. I know Katz. I know my business. I know customers, I know my customers, but I'd be a fool to bring so much ego to the front door of franchising that, that I thought I could do it myself. So that was a huge benefit, a huge thing that I look back on and I say, I'm glad that we did that.
And let's look at the other end of the spectrum. Is there anything looking back over the past year or two that you would do differently if you could?
For sure. I think that's always there. And it should be. And if you can't find those things, it's probably because you're making those mistakes right at that very moment. You just haven't realized it yet. I think one certainly would be, capital. Mm-hmm. It sounds very cliche, but it is an expensive, process. We brought, our own capital to the table, but we went out and raised some money as well. Did a friends and family round of fundraising, and we probably could have pushed that even a little bit more, and wouldn't have changed anything too dramatically, but we could have maybe done a little bit more faster and been a few months ahead of where we were. I think I'd also bring franchise industry vendors on board sooner than I did. They're worth their money. They can be expensive, but when you look at it, I tend to think that, the concept of, like, I have a guy from home, who does our social media or whatever, like, it's just a very different environment. And I think you're just hard pressed to get somebody who's familiar with the B2C, level of business networking or social media, whatever the case might be. Even law, I've had friends and colleagues who, when they first started out, they went to their business attorney looking to franchise. You got to go to a franchise attorney. It's just a different language.
Yeah, I see that all the time with different types of suppliers, including lawyers. Definitely with that marketing space. where people are like, well, we're not really a big franchise yet, so I can still use, you know, my cousin who's kind of an attorney, and my brother-in-law, who I think he's got a degree in marketing. So yeah, he can take care of that. Or, you know, maybe it's some small shop from your hometown. And, you know, that works for a very short time until you get location number two or location number three rolling. And then suddenly you've got people who are telling you, oh yeah, yeah, we can take care of franchising. Sure. We know all about that. That's like McDonald's, right? That's what you're going to do. So, Angela, any thoughts from you on,
well, yeah, I just,
maybe doing differently.
Well, I was just actually going to also add into that I sadly see too often where early franchisors come to me, you know, they're at their kind of, they've got maybe one, you know, one or two franchises, you know, operating or not even, and they've had to redo their FDD because they used, you know, somebody that either wasn't skilled or was, or not the, you know, not an actual franchise attorney. And it's funny, my dad always used to say, you know, when it comes to this kind of thing, that, you know, would you go to your general physician to get heart surgery or brain surgery? You know, there's a reason for the specialists.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to understand that franchising is that different, and there's a lot of value. I just wanted to kind of concur with what Chris is saying, that there's value in working with people that really understand the nuances of the model.
Excellent. I love that. We're going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to ask you guys to stick around and join me for part two right after this message from the Better Software Company. Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be more successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Chris and Angela, if you would, I'd love to have you back next week to do part two of this this really in-depth interview of a great emerging brand and how advisors can work with a brand like this. In the meantime, Chris, if people have questions for you about your brand, Happy Cat Hotel, where can we send them?
Yeah, our franchise website, happycatfranchising.com. And obviously we have contact form on there. We can certainly reach back to them same day 99% of the time. And our email, chris@happycatfranchising.com, will do as well. And I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Angela, in the meantime, until we talk again next week, where can people reach you with more questions about your work with Cultivate Advisors?
Yeah, always happy to help. Angela@cultivateadvisors.com. Just email is usually the best, or you can generally find me on social media like LinkedIn and Facebook, Instagram, dancing with wind tubes, as Cliff mentioned earlier.
We'll find you all over the social webs. Thanks very much for joining Social Geek today. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.